I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Syria, Iraq, Yemen, three of the world's bloodiest wars in the last 15 years. They all had unique beginnings, but they have one thing in common. They have, to a large extent, been shaped by the rivalry between two nations, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That conflict is the subject of a new series on PBS Frontline starting tonight, titled Bitter Rivals. It was written and produced by Martin Smith, who joins us now. Hey, Martin, good to have you with us again.
Good to be back, Marco.
So before we actually begin chatting, let's just listen to one moment in your documentary. It's from a conversation you had with the Saudi foreign minister, Adel Al-Jubeir, where you are talking about the war in Yemen.
We're not competing with Iran. We don't want to compete with Iran.
You're fighting a war against them in Yemen.
We're not fighting war against them in Yemen. We want them to get off our case. That's what we want.
All right. He's not fighting a war in Yemen. They're not fighting a war in Yemen. He seems kind of to be in denial. So my first question is simply, how real is this rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia? As in, how do these two countries actually see it?
It's very real. And, you know, he's dancing around it a little bit there. But he knows, everybody knows, that they've been engaged in a deep rivalry, a bitter rivalry since 1979, really, when Ayatollah Khomeini returned from exile. The Western-backed Shah left the country. The U.S.-backed Shah left. And Khomeini took power and declared that all the monarchies of the Gulf, most notably Saudi Arabia, needed to be toppled. And since then, they've had a very deep enmity between them.
So that brings us to another moment in your documentary. The Iranian talk about exporting their revolution in 1979 understandably unsettled Saudi Arabia with its own Shia minority and its eastern provinces. So you confronted the current Iranian foreign minister, Javad Zarif, about their alleged interference in that region. Let's listen to that.
We made our views clear about the nature of governments that were submissive to the United States, governments that were presenting a message of hatred.
But back in 1979, there were radio reports coming out of Iran calling for Shia in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia to rise up against the monarchy.
Well,
that sounds like interference to me.
We always rejected the use of force against governments. We may have encouraged people to ask for their rights.
So, Martin Smith, you really think that exporting the Islamic Revolution is still on the agenda of the Iranians? Like, what is their end game right now?
It's a revolutionary state. Let me just interject that what you can't see on the radio is the smirk that comes across his face as he says that they may have encouraged some kind of uprising.
And what did that smirk tell you?
That smirk told me that he was admitting that, yeah, we were up to some mischief there. We were encouraging the Shia of the eastern province to rise up because we wanted to get under the skin of the Saudi monarchy.
Right. So back to
no
that other
question about it.
Yeah. Is it still the agenda of the Iranians to do that, to export their revolution?
Well, when they have an opportunity, such as in current-day Yemen, they will do so. They've chosen sides in Iraq. They've dominated the politics of Iraq since the U.S. invasion toppled Saddam Hussein. They've dominated Syria in their support for Assad. So yeah, they're up to this. It's part of their raison d'etre to be a revolutionary state.
I mean, there's obviously a contentious history between Saudi Arabia and Iran, but how much of the Sunni-Shia divide is kind of just a construct for enmity? And if it is, who made it so? And why push such a destructive narrative?
Well, you know, in history, it's amazing that two branches of the same religion with the same basic beliefs can be responsible for so much hatred and violence. I mean, we've seen it in Northern Ireland, and we see it across the Middle East. But this power struggle, as you mentioned earlier, is really much more of a modern construct, a much more of a power struggle for control of the Middle East by two protagonists, Iran and Saudi Arabia. I don't think that Sunnis and Shias would be at each other's throats if it wasn't for these power players funding and stirring up hatreds. So I don't think this is fundamentally a sectarian divide. We like in the West to conceive of it as a Bloods versus Crips or Cowboys versus Indians and therefore Sunnis versus Shia. It helps us maybe understand things in simpler terms, but I think it's false. I think that this is essentially a power struggle between two major countries in the Middle East and not so much a sectarian war.
So if we look at this kind of war between Iran and Saudi Arabia, for lack of a better word, who's winning it and where is it going, especially with Trump's open embrace of Saudi Arabia and renewed hostility toward Iran?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I think Iran is winning the war. Iran has won in Iraq. It's won in Syria. It certainly, for a long time, since the 80s, had a foothold in Lebanon with Hezbollah. In Yemen, the Houthi rebellion is entrenched in the capital, Sana'a, and gets humanitarian aid, money, and some weapons from the Iranians. And this is driving the crown prince of Saudi Arabia nuts.
What would it take for Saudi Arabia and Iran to maybe not get along, but to get to some point of détente? Is that possible?
Well, I talk to a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am in this program and have studied this divide for a long time, and all of them, to a person, say that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Talking to the two foreign ministers in the program, they're at each other's throats, and there's a kind of, a kind of a mean girl's script that they carry where they point at each other and blame each other for what's going on. So there's not a great amount of maturity now. There's a lot of raw feelings, and they both have cases to make, but they're not sitting down and they're not talking.
Martin, you've seen the zones of war, Iraq and Syria and Yemen, that have emerged from this Iran-Saudi rivalry. You've seen the cost of this conflict. What kind of impact has all this had on you?
Well, it's very upsetting. It's very upsetting to see the amount of destruction. And sometimes I feel as I go through these landscapes of destroyed towns, cities, it's war pornography, really, to see too much of this stuff. And we always have to decide how much we're going to put out there on the air because it's sensational on the one hand. But it's also just very deeply disturbing to me to see in Aleppo in northern Syria, I visited a school that was being rebuilt by the Iranians. But the kids in that school, in a classroom I walked into, were 8 years old. They have lived through 6-7 years of war. They have hardly been able to go to school. So there's so many examples like that of the kind of cost of this for the population. And, I met professionals who talk to us in the film in Syria who feel that they can't leave the country. One man, his wife is having a baby, and I said, "Are you really comfortable raising your child here?" He practically broke down in tears, and he says, "It's my destiny. I can't leave."
Martin Smith produced Bitter Rivals, a two-part series about Iran and Saudi Arabia on Frontline, airing tonight and next Tuesday. Martin, thanks so much for your time.
Marco, thank you.